Welcome to Local Motion. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Today we begin the first in a series of programs on living with wildlife called Wild Neighbors. For our first program, we're focusing on bears, as they have been the wild neighbors visiting us lately. There's been an increase of bear sightings in our towns and neighborhoods this summer, and we hope to dispel some myths about these creatures and give people some tips on what you can do if you do encounter one in your town, on your land, or out in the wild. There are many ways we can prevent bears from visiting in the first place, and even more we can do to avoid conflict with them if they do. Joining us today is Brenda Miller, who's been a volunteer, licensed wildlife rehabilitator for 18 years, and started the nonprofit Ribidoux Rim Wildlife Rescue. Brenda runs this wildlife rehab facility outside Olathe, where she's involved in direct care and rehabilitation of wildlife, providing educational outreach programs, fundraising, and training for veterinarians. We're also joined by Christy Dumont. Christy was born and raised in Southern California and has been rescuing domestic and wild animals since childhood. She moved with her husband to the Somerset area 14 years ago, where she lives right on the edge of some bear country and has had a few encounters. She's given many presentations on how to live with and protect wildlife and is a volunteer with the Colorado Parks and Wildlife. I want to mention that wildlife rehabilitators in Colorado do not receive any funding from Colorado Parks and Wildlife or U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services. However, these agencies do use these rehabs and rescue services on a regular basis and refer the public to them. So both of these women do the work they do as volunteers, and I know Brenda relies very much on support and donations from the public to keep doing it. And we'll talk a bit more about that later, but I want to remind listeners that this is a call-in. So if you have a question or a comment for our guests this evening on the topic of bears, give us a call at 970-527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF-NOW. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So, Brenda and Christy, let's start by talking about why there's an increase in the amount of bears that are coming down into the valley this year and what we can do to keep them from visiting our farms, towns, and yards.
At this time of year, they're out and about because their cubs are old enough to wander with them now, and they're teaching their cubs how to find food. They're having to bulk up and gain weight so they can go into hibernation. They're coming down because people are luring them down. Bears have a very keen sense of smell, so they smell everything that's going on. They're curious, they smell the food, and they're coming down to find the food. We're also in this area coming off a drought that's been going on for over 2 years, so the forage is still being built up out in the woods. They're looking for food.
Yep. And what do they like to eat?
They like to eat their natural foods that are out in the wild. Berries, fruit that's growing natural. They will eat all kinds of bugs. They will feed on carcasses. They will hunt and kill chipmunks, squirrels, small animals like that. They'll prey on injured creatures. However, they will come in and eat just about anything we humans like to eat.
Right, like, and things that they might find in a trash can, obviously.
In a trash can, compost piles, things like that.
So what can people do to not lure them?
Right now, everybody must take down all their bird feeders, their suet feeders, hummingbird feeders. It's time for the hummingbirds to migrate. They don't need those feeders. The feeders that you put corn cobs on, those need to come down. The fancy feeders for evening grosbeak, they also need to come down. No one should be feeding their dogs and cats outside. If you insist on doing that, put the food out for 15 to 30 minutes. If they eat it, great. If they don't, pick those bowls back up and bring them in. The dogs and cats will learn when feeding time is. If you insist on leaving the food out, it must be put in a bear-proof building. For those of you that feed grain to livestock, when your animals are done eating out of those containers, you're going to have to either wash them out and put them away or just pick them up and put them away again in a bear-proof building. If you have barbecue grills, if you can, just refrain from cooking outside right now. But if you can't resist and you're going to cook, leave the flame on the grill after you've pulled your food off and let it burn the grease off. That will help eliminate some of the food smell. Also, if you can wash that grill down immediately after every single meal and make sure the area is entirely cleaned up of all the food smells, wash down your picnic tables with ammonia.
I was telling Brenda earlier, my husband barbecues on the ground where we live. And when that grill is cooled off a bit, I stick it in a hefty bag, cinch it up, and put it in the shed. And that's how we deal with our grill when we're done. So
I want all the young people out there, kids that are listening, teenagers, no candy wrappers being thrown in your yards or on the streets. Pick up your popsicle sticks and don't spit your gum anywhere. All those things a bear can smell and will attract bears in. Garbage has got to be kept inside your garage or a barn that a bear cannot get into. We need to keep garage doors closed at all time. You can clean garbage cans out on a regular basis using ammonia, and that will help eliminate food smells. It's also okay if you live in bear country where you see them on a regular basis, put some bars up on your windows.
And you had a bear in your yard, right, Christy? Did they come to visit on your porch or something?
Right. My dog was going ballistic one night, and I looked out of my window, which my husband had just installed window guards on our windows because they're low. And there was a bear right on my porch, and I looked right in his eyes, and I wasn't afraid at all. My dog was being more of a problem than the bear, and if it weren't for the window guard, my dog would have gone through the window after the bear. So I do encourage this. And, you know, you can make them pretty, too.
They can look good.
Yeah.
Yep. People in Telluride put bars on their windows, on their downstairs windows, because they're living with bears. I know a lot of people want to compost, and that's a really big deal. It's great stuff for your garden, but you cannot have compost piles if you live in these rural areas or on the outskirts of town. Composts are a very big draw for bears to come into. You can't leave anything around your home outside that smells. You can't leave anything in your yard that's going to entertain the bears. Another thing that attracts bears is old and crippled animals. They have their own smell about them. An old, crippled animal is a prey creature, and it does attract predators. So that's something to think about.
So I know for some people, though, it's their fruit orchards that are attracting the bears, and you can't really remove a fruit orchard. And a bear that keeps returning and isn't afraid is called a nuisance bear. But there's ways to scare these bears away, too, from your orchard. Can you talk about that a little bit?
There are. For people who do have orchards, especially those orchards that are fenced, I would recommend trying to use livestock protection dogs. I use them on my ranch to keep predators away. Also, Colorado Parks and Wildlife will help you and provide assistance in installing electric fencing. They can give you advice on how to do that. We're on orchards.
Yeah, dogs.
Dogs. I do use the Akbash, the Great Pyrenees, to keep predators away. But the other thing with orchards, if you can pick up all the fallen fruit on the ground and remove that or get fruit picked. And if you have just maybe a simple crabapple tree in your yard that could be attracting bears, if you can just pick the fruit or pick it up, that'll help too.
And if you have any questions or comments that you want to add to this discussion about bears today, give us a call at 527-4868. We are taking calls. And I'm here with Brenda Miller and Christy Dumont. Both of them volunteer for Colorado Parks and Wildlife. And we're talking about bears coming to town lately. There's not really any sort of definite rules about what you do if you meet a bear. But in most cases, a bear will detect you first and leave the area. And bear attacks are very rare, and they will almost always find an escape route if they're left alone to do so. One of the most dangerous places for a bear to end up is like in a town or neighborhood, because a lot of times people really don't know that they're supposed to leave the bear a way out. Brenda, can you talk about what you should do if you see a bear loping through the neighborhood or down Main Street?
If you see a bear around, first of all, you don't need to call the sheriff. You don't need to call Parks and Wildlife. But we all need to be proactive and assertive and scare these bears away. We need to keep them away from our towns, away from our yards. Some of the things that you can do that are very simple. If you have a garage door opener and you have a remote, grab that remote and open that garage door. The sound of that garage door moving will scare away a bear. You can also honk your car horn. If you have an air horn, blow it off. If you have a musical instrument, like a tuba, blow on the tuba, the shrill of a flute, a bugle, bang on your drums. You can also grab some pots and pans and run outside and bang them together, yell at the same time, sing at the top of your lungs. You can turn on your sprinklers, or you can even put them on motion sensors so they'll come on at night. You can turn on lights. You can put lights on motion sensors. You could also blast a radio or a siren. You can yell. You can wave a flag. You can use rubber bullets. You can use firecrackers. If you are expecting bears around, you can put ammonia on rags and leave those rags out. If you've got a bear in the neighborhood, start scaring it away. If someone can call down the line down the street and let your neighbors know that there's a bear around, everybody should be paying attention. You all need to think about what you're going to do if a bear does come around. You should all talk to your children. Keep your children safe. And if you suddenly are confronted by a bear, make yourself look really big by raising your arms. If you have something you can pick up like a large branch or stick, hold it over your head with both your hands. That makes you look big. Pick up your small children, and if you can, put them on your shoulders. But at least pick them up, okay? Use your voice and yell and sing.
Be creative.
Put on a show.
Yes.
Form a neighborhood band.
Yeah,
everybody just come out with their instruments and start blasting and marching up the street. I know it sounds crazy, but it's worth a try.
It is. And if you've got livestock, especially fowl like your chickens, your ducks and geese, they're very easy prey. So you're going to have to coop them up at night. I have taught all mine just by saying bedtime. I herd them into their pens and close the gates at night. And after a week of this, they learn what bedtime is. And you can also teach this to your sheep and goats. If you have sick and injured animals, you're going to have to keep them safe by putting them in a building at night because, again, they do give off a very specific odor that attracts predators. Again, you can use livestock protection dogs. I use them. Also, you cannot leave your poultry, your sheep, your goats out in a pasture and expect them to be safe unless you have livestock protection dogs or you're willing to stay with the animals. And if you're going to let them birth out in the pasture, unless you have a way to protect them, then you're going to need to clean up the afterbirth, or especially if the animals won't do it.
And if you do get into a situation with a bear where they're cornered, that's like the most dangerous place you can be. So if they go up a tree or something like that, especially if they have cubs, what you definitely don't want to surround the tree that they're in.
That's right. Everybody needs to back off.
Yeah.
And remove things. A lot of people feel they should feed the bear or the bear cubs to get them out of the tree. But you don't want to do that because then you're rewarding them for being there. So you've just got to pull your dogs off and get things quieted down and let the bears go away. Give them an out and never corner a bear. Never get between a sow and her cubs.
When you're on a trail hiking and there's a bear, bears like to use the trails. You step down off the trail, down the hillside, and don't panic. The bear will probably just walk on by you. That the whole key is not to panic.
Yeah, and you're not even supposed to run from them, right?
No, that triggers their instinct to chase.
So you're supposed to back away and look mean and
back
scary.
Away and make noise.
Well, and don't look them in the eye. They don't like that. And just talk softly. That's what I would do first. If they do attack you, you just beat them up. You're supposed to just hit them and yell and scream and yeah.
Is there any point where you are supposed to report it to a wildlife agency or maybe to your, certainly to your neighbors occasionally, but if a bear is injured or?
If a bear is injured, you can report it. People need to understand that most injured creatures, including your domestic animals, they'll leave the area. They just want to be left alone. They're going to go away and hide. And it's okay to report them. Somebody then knows they're out there and they'll keep an eye on things. Do call your neighbors. Let your neighbors know, especially if you've got children around. Let them know that there is a predator in the area.
Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes they come down to, like, you pick orchards. So you definitely want to let tourists know. If there were bears in the orchard,
that's
they
right,
were going to.
Because our tourists that come from out of state, most of them don't know about bears or wildlife and what they need to do to either leave it alone or just be assertive and make some noise and scare it away. Most of the time, wildlife's going to leave if they hear human voices and noise around. Honest, they're just as scared as we are.
Right. So some state wildlife agencies will step in and provide professional services to capture and relocate a bear. But what's the situation here? And, what I understand is that there's a certain point where a property owner or an agency would deal with the problem basically by shooting a bear. Takes care of the problem.
Well, in Colorado, we have Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and they are the regulatory agency dealing with wildlife issues. So if you do have a problem, a lot of sheep herders, cattle people, if they've got a bear problem, they're going to call in and talk with Parks and Wildlife and try to come to some ways to deal with the problem. The same in the city. If a nuisance bear is a bear that repeatedly comes back and does the same behaviors over and over, and Parks and Wildlife deals with that, your city and county police departments and sheriff departments are supposed to contact Parks and Wildlife when they're dealing with a wildlife situation. Your local animal shelters, animal rescue groups do not deal with wildlife issues. And you can't take wildlife to them either for care.
That's when they call you.
And that's when they call me, or they leave it outside the door of CAWS or the Montrose Shelter. And all these agencies are very good about calling me to get help right away.
Now, in some cases, you know, a bear does get shot, and the worst and sort of most devastating thing that can happen is they'll shoot a sow with cubs. Mm-hmm. What happens then to the cubs, and what happens in a situation like
that? The way they determine if they're going to shoot a bear is the district wildlife managers, first of all, they do not want to have to shoot a bear. These are some really good people, very compassionate people. They're just doing their job and following regulations. A bear, if it's a problem, is sedated once and tagged in the ear, okay? That's the first strike. If the bear does it again, the bear is usually put down and it's shot. If it is a sow and there are cubs, the cubs will most likely run off. Parks and Wildlife, if they can, they will try to trap the cubs. Got the manpower and the money to do so. Those trapped cubs are taken to either their wildlife rehab facility in Del Norte called the Frisco Creek Wildlife Facility, or we have a licensed wildlife rehabilitator for bears over in the Silt area. Again, nobody wants to shoot a bear. It's pretty tough to do.
I do have to say, though, that they don't always get a single chance, the bears. We don't relocate them around here like people think that we do. And people need to know that. That's why we need to learn to get the bears out of town ourselves, because they're not being given that two-strike deal all the time. And I think people should know that. That way maybe they'd be a little more compassionate about really being proactive and helping these bears out. We need to do our part. We live with them.
Yeah. And you're tuned into Wild Neighbors on KVNF. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Colorado has been home to bears since their earliest ancestors evolved in North America. Today, there are an estimated 16 to 18,000 black bears in the state of Colorado. An increase in bear sightings is not an indicator of a higher population of bears. It's an indicator of a lack of seasonal crops and loss in habitat. And according to Colorado Parks and Wildlife. So we're talking today about all the things you can do to avoid encounters with bears or deal with an encounter in a way that doesn't end tragically. I'm here with Brenda Davis of the nonprofit Rubidoux Rim Wildlife Rescue and Christy Dumond, a volunteer for Colorado Parks and Wildlife. This is a call-in show. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us with your questions or comments at 970-527-4868. I want to talk a little bit about bear behavior. Some people might mistake some of their behavior as for aggression when it's not. And other times maybe they are making an aggressive move and people don't know it. Either way, you want to back away and leave them alone. But can we talk about some things that bears do that might indicate where they're at, and also what are their personalities like? Do they have traits that you could talk about?
They have individual personalities, just like any other creature or any human being. I know that bears will shake their heads sometimes, and I don't know what that means. They make all kinds of different sounds, and I can't interpret any of their sounds. Bears have been known to charge. I was just reading some articles by Dr. Lynn Rogers, who has been studying bears. And he feels that those charges are all bluffs, and if you stand your ground and you look big and you yell and scream, the bear will suddenly stop for a moment, stare, and maybe turn tail and run. I don't recommend that to people, though. People need to be safe. If you're not experienced being around bears, then take some of the suggestions we've mentioned here on the radio tonight so that you don't lure them around. And if they do show up, take some of those suggestions, too. Be assertive and scare them away.
And then when they stand up tall, they're sniffing you. They're getting your scent. A lot of people panic when they do that, when they get up on their feet and look at you, because they're
big that way.
Yeah, they about 5 feet tall when they stand, unless they're really big bear. But the average bear is probably about 5 feet, and it is kind of scary. But they're not being aggressive; they are just smelling their situation, just mm-hmm. kind of sizing you up. So
checking us out.
Mm-hmm. And I read in some of the literature that I was looking at before this program that if something happens where a bear does attack you, that you're not supposed to play dead. Do you know anything about that?
and that is the latest thing. We used to be taught to curl ourselves up and protect our stomach area, which is, you know, the easiest, most fragile part of our body that can easily be ripped open. But now they're saying to defend yourself and be assertive and yell and scream and pick up a stick and pound on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing the same thing.
Yeah. Brenda, you've handled a couple of bear cubs at the Ribadeau Wildlife Rescue just briefly while they were awaiting transport to either a rehab facility in Del Norte or someone who takes them in rifle that you mentioned. So you would like to be a licensed to care for them and build what you feel would be an appropriate cage for them. What kind of cage are we talking about, and how would you take care of an animal like this?
I want to build huge cages, and I won't rehab bears unless I feel I can do it right the first time. The cages are very expensive to build because you've got to bury wire so that they can't dig out and so that nothing else can dig in. You've got to have a top on these cages so the bears can't climb out and nothing can climb in. So these are chain link cages, and they're very sturdy. I don't want to have to put them in cages with cement floors. Bears dig. So I just want to fence off this entire canyon that I have on the ranch and make a huge cage.
Nice.
So they can be up on the cliffs, so they can dig into the cliffs and learn how to do this stuff on their own. I also want to be able to have enough money so that I can go around and pick up all the roadkill to feed them and pick up carcasses from farms and ranches to feed the bears. Bears in a rehabilitation situation are fed dog food, which is mostly corn-based. It bulks them up with weight really fast. It's easy to get. Easy to buy, easy to feed. You don't have the mess of dealing with carcasses, things like that. So that's why it's fed. But I would just as soon stay away from processed foods for wildlife. That just doesn't make sense to me, feeding processed human stuff to wildlife.
Well, it seems like then they get confused about how they get food, too.
I agree, because they're going to remember that smell of the cat food or the dog food that's been fed in the facility. And they're going to be out in the wild, and they come near and they smell that again.
Mm-mm.
Boy, is that going to click. That doesn't make sense to me, but that is how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And they do feed carcasses, too, if they can get a hold of them. Cattle, deer on the side of the road, things like that. But it's just time-consuming to do all that, too.
Yeah.
And when you're rehabbing an animal like a bear, and I think you've had other wild animals that you wouldn't normally dealing with as a human being, you would be staying away from them. What do you have to do so they don't get all used to people?
On the ranch, the wildlife is kept separate from all human activities and livestock. And I'm fortunate I have a canyon on each side of the ranch, and I have all my cages down in one canyon. And that's where the wildlife is kept. They can't really hear the human sounds. They can't hear the vehicles. They've got the spring running down there and the sound of the wind. They can't see any humans, and they can't see each other in any cages. And I bet they can smell each other, even though the cages are not within eyesight. And that's also a state law that you've got to keep wildlife separate from humans. I run in and feed them real quick, clean the cage, and I get back out. I don't make eye contact. I don't talk to them. I don't name them. And if they do approach me in any way when I'm running in with food, I scare them. And I know that sounds cruel, but they have to be afraid of me. They cannot be used to my presence. And yes, it makes them run and hide in their places in the cage, but it that way they're not habituated to humans. I want them to be successful out in the wild, so I do whatever I can to hopefully make that so for them.
Yeah. Why are bears important to our ecosystem and to our area of Colorado? And
they clean up carcasses. Something dies in the woods, they clean it up. People are always dumping their livestock out on public lands. Bears clean it up, along with other creatures like magpies and vultures, things like that. But bears clean it up. They're browsers. So they're foraging for ants, and they're grazing here and there, and they're nibbling on that bush and flipping up a rock and eating some grubs underneath there. They're all part of the whole circle of everything here.
Every single animal is part of it. Every single animal. An insect.
Mm-hmm. You guys must really love living here because you love
You
love animals so much, and we definitely get exposed to them where we live. It's pretty special. So thank you so much for joining us today on Wild Neighbors. We'll be continuing this series once a month and have a new topic that deals with, you know, our wild neighbors, a new one every month. I've been speaking with Brenda Miller, licensed wildlife rehabilitator, and started the nonprofit Ribideau Rim Wildlife Rescue. And Christy Dumond, a volunteer with Colorado Parks and Wildlife. Stay tuned. Coming up next is the show As the Worm Turns.
Thank you so much,
Allie. Thank you, Allie.
Yeah, thank you.